Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland, along with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I am blessed. Thank you very much.
We got Dr. G. He's a little under the weather, but he's in the studio audience. A big shout out to Dr. G. Pray everything gets well with you. One of those pre-wintertime colds, a little bit cold in the D.C. metropolitan area. But we thank God, even though it's cold on the outside, it's still warm on the inside.
Amen.
And so we just like to thank everyone for tuning in. I know we've been away for the Thanksgiving week, and then I had to get into some technical difficulties on last week. But we're glad we're back again this week, and we're going to be starting the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, a very powerful book, was penned by the Apostle Paul. And so as we get ready to get into it, we'll just ask you to bow your heads, and we're going to ask God's blessing upon our Bible study. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow down and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that all this would be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G., one of the interesting things that I found with this book of Philippians, and it's kind of funny that we decided to do this book during this time because, as you know, and many have witnessed in the media, the great leader Nelson Mandela had passed. And that he was recognized for the work that he did while he was in prison. For over 26 years he was in prison. But yet in his imprisonment, he influenced so many others that it became known for his style of forgiveness and continuing to preach about to speak about reconciliation and truth. And, you know, I was thinking about that when we decided to take the book of Philippians, because the Apostle Paul, this is one of the imprisoned epistles.
Right.
And he was imprisoned in the city of Rome in Europe at a place what they call Caesar's Praetorian Guard. It was like the elite guard that would imprison him. So he was a religious prisoner, unlike when Mandela was a political prisoner. but yet he still was able to influence change in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was pretty interesting to take up this book of Philippians, but to be able to see how Paul, even while he was in the secure prison, was able not only to be influential to the church, but he was also able to be influential to those people that were keeping him
or
in prison.
Right.
And so people that were actually imprisoning him or came to know Jesus Christ. And so a lot of times we might think of our situation as being dire and our situation as being woe is me. But what I love about the Apostle Paul, Dr. G, is that he took care, took advantage of every situation to spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he was free, whether he was bound, he took every opportunity to spread the gospel. And this was one of what they call the love letters to the church of Philippi, because wherever he was, they always supported him. They always sent money. They always sent care. They always sent things that would help further his ministry. And so this was sort of like a love letter to the church of Philippi as the Apostle Paul's life was winding up and how he was getting ready to be martyred. And during that time, you know, you would think someone's life's going to come to an end. You would think somebody it would be down in the dumps. But from this letter, he was just grateful to God that he had the opportunity
right.
to continue to minister.
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of us now, we get a hangnail.
Well,
and it's
me.
The end of the world. It's like we're ready to shut it down. Oh, my God, I got a hangnail. I just paid $50 to get my nails done. Oh, did I go there? I'm fine. Whoopsie.
You're going to get in trouble now.
But you know, when you look at this love letter to Paul expresses his gratitude and expresses to them, don't get concerned, overly concerned about his circumstances, because his circumstances were for their benefit.
Right.
And that was what's so awesome about Paul, and again, looking toward Mandela, is that his circumstances benefited everyone in South Africa and worldwide.
Worldwide.
And then even carried to the ultimate with Jesus Christ, his circumstances of to the point of being crucified benefited everyone.
Everybody.
With the gift of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at those examples, and, you know, the same thing with Dr. King or any that actually changed the way the world is run, there was always a thing of sacrifice. There was always a thing of them enduring the injustice so someone else could come out and receive the justice that they deserve.
That's right.
And but you know, if you don't study the word, if you don't study leaders like that, what happens is you become selfish and you become intolerant of other people.
Right.
But when you study people like that, you see how humble they were, you see how tolerant they were, and you see how forgiving they were, and you see how that the words of the Bible are so critical. If you walk righteous, if you love your enemies, if you treat people with dignity, that you can win more people that way than if you go about being critical or disrespectful or uncaring or unloving. The old saying is you can draw more flies with honey than with vinegar.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna start with Philippians, the first chapter, beginning at verse 1. And again, this is a church that was founded by the Apostle Paul and his mentee, Timothy, on their, I believe it was their second missionary journey. And the letter starts in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. And I love the way they start this out. You know, we just finished with James, and James starts off also James, the servant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think a lot of us can learn from just being a servant. Whereas in today's society, Dr. G, and you know, people get hung up on titles.
Titles.
Oh, my goodness.
They'll create titles.
I know when I first got into ministry, everybody wanted to be minister.
Right.
And then minister wasn't good enough, and everybody wanted to be reverend.
Right.
Reverend. And then reverend wasn't good enough, and everybody wanted doctor.
Yeah.
And doctor wasn't good enough. Everybody wanted to be apostle.
Yeah.
And then apostle wasn't good enough. And everybody wanted to be bishop.
That's right.
And then a bishop wasn't good enough. Then they wanted to be the regional overseer. And so, you know, they get caught up in all these times. And like you said, if they don't like that one, they'll make up another one. But if you look at the servants of God, the men who are inspired, the holy men who are inspired by God to write the word of God, they just said they were a servant.
Yeah.
A servant.
Plain and simple.
Servant.
Like Jesus.
Just like Jesus. A servant. And you know, when you look at these letters and you look at it, they said, you know, we're just servants. Paul was one of the greatest writers of the New Testament. He wrote more than anybody else in the New Testament. He was the greatest writer in the New Testament. He just considered himself as being a servant.
Yeah, like Jesus.
And it's like how can the church of today get back to where people are servants, where their ministry is to carry out their gifts as servants to serve other people?
Other people.
But it seems like more and more it's like people want the church or people to serve them.
It's all about me.
But Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom is going to be the ones that serve.
That's right.
And so when you look at the Apostle Paul, he got respect, he got big props, he got big shout outs by just being a servant. People recognize your servant. People will recognize and appreciate people for being a servant. Sometimes people take advantage of you as a servant, but people will respect you for your day in and day out commitment to serve others as you serve Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So here we see Paul saying that he's a servant, and then you find the twist where he's recognizing the bishops and the deacons. So in other words, it's like I'm a servant, but I'm gonna give a shout out to the bishop and the deacon.
Right.
It's funny.
It's
funny because he's like I'm you know he's up here, but you know he's like, you know, I'm just gonna go ahead and give a shout out because I know some people will get upset if you don't recognize them or acknowledge them as a bishop or deacon or the officers of the church.
That's right.
So here we have Paul recognizing the ability just to be a servant. And in verse 1, he says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. And so he acknowledged everyone, and he's starting the letter off just giving people, you know, a decent recognition. And sometimes, you know, in the Apostle Paul's writing, what he would do was before he got to the meat of things, and a lot of times before he got to the critical part, is that he was very cordial with people. And we can learn from that because sometimes, you know, if we have something serious to say or we have a matter that of utmost importance, a lot of times we don't go about it the right way. And sometimes you have to start off being cordial. Sometimes you have to start off recognizing the good in people.
Mm-hmm.
And once you are cordial, once you're recognizing the good in people, then you sort of like laid the groundwork. So now they're more susceptible to receive what you have to say.
That's right.
And that's a technique that can be used in every situation, whether it's in the church, whether it's on your job, is to recognize people, recognize, you know, them or their title or what they're doing, recognize them as people that you want to interact with, the good qualities, and just don't jump on people right away.
That's right.
Because sometimes people, as soon as you jump on them right away, they put up that defensive wall.
Shut you down.
Shut down. And then you'll spend a whole hour and you won't get anywhere.
But, they won't hear you.
Right. But if you come in and you recognize them, you honor God, you recognize Christ, you recognize the saints, you recognize the bishops, you recognize the deacons, and now you've smoothed it. Everybody has got their head stroked. So like, you know, I had a little dogs where you stroke his head and he does like that. Now everybody's in the mood to receive something.
Right.
And so he starts off in verse 2. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you gotta be able to find common ground. If you're gonna be talking to somebody about some serious things, you gotta find common ground that Jesus will give us peace, that God will give us grace. And when you start talking that way, what it happens is it resets people's mind for, you know, what else is troubling. Because sometimes you talk to people and their mind is 100 miles away.
Right.
They're still thinking about that crazy stuff that went on the highway, the beltway, the job. But when you bring them back in, you say, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm writing you this letter and I'm talking to you because of God's grace, because of God's peace, and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're talking to people, you're talking to the church, and you're talking to Christians, it's really good to be able to put them in remembrance of why we're here.
Yeah.
It's because of God's grace.
Right.
It's because of God's peace that we're still in our right mind,
mm-hmm.
and it's because of God's Son, who is the Lord, that we can even, you know, discuss what we need to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have been put back in that frame of mind, then basically you can talk about anything. But sometimes people forget that about God's grace. They forget about his salvation, think
right.
about his Son. But when you put people back in remembrance, then they're more stable or more susceptible to be able to receive instruction.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. That's important in order to get somebody to hear what you have to say. And I'm sitting here as we're talking about it. These are actual, we have to remember, these are letters that are going to the church.
Right.
So it's not like he's sitting here and he's talking to someone. So through those letters, he has to reach out and tug at their heart
right.
first so they'd be willing to hear the rest of the letter.
Right.
And that's what you do with people. You have to kind of tug at their heart first, lay the common ground. Then at that point they don't feel like you're attacking them.
Right.
They feel you kind of tweak their ears and they want to hear what you have to say.
Right. And that's what I tell people about Bible study. Bible study is more than just reading about religious writing. A Bible study is something that's going to enhance your life and teaches you how to deal with life. And that's why it's so important for us to see, you know, in these writings, how people approach people in the church.
Right.
Because a lot of times you have a lot of turmoil in the church
mm-hmm.
because people don't know how to approach.
To each other.
Come on now. Don't know how to approach people
right.
in church and don't know how to talk to each other.
Don't know how to talk to each other. And then don't understand why are they winning their jobs? Why are they so upset? All I said was, and what I said was true. That may be true what you said,
right.
but how you said it was ineffective.
Exactly. And so those are big things, and you know, I don't care what church you go to
mm-hmm.
or are part of or member of or even on your job. It's a big thing to be able to talk to someone, to be able to communicate with someone in a manner where you can be effective.
Right.
Because you can talk till you're blue in the face.
Right.
And sometimes I look at our leaders of our country, our congressmen and women, senators, and you know they just run off, blah, 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 blah. and they're not making any. It's like they're just talking to be talking,
right.
and they're not talking to be effective, and they waste time. And
yeah.
so people get frustrated, people get angry, people tune each other out, it creates a divide among people, and it's the same thing in the church. You have to gather around the commonality of why we're here, and it's because of God's grace, because of God's peace, and it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing as well as we are doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Paul didn't start out talking about, man, these folks got me locked up in this junk. They ain't give me no food, man. I ain't been outside. Ain't nobody sent me no letters, man. They got the Roman guard. They be tripping and stuff. You know, I'm tired, man. Why ain't y'all came to see me? You know, what's up with that? You know, as much as I done preached and now y'all done tripped and left me out in the cold like this, you know, I'm writing you the letter. Somebody need to come get me. Somebody need to send something to get me out of this joint. I don't know. Y'all need to uprise, press up in this camp.
But you know what? That just shows you the power of Christ.
Though. Amen.
Because Yes, that would be a normal man's fleshly reaction. So for him to be saying, grace be unto you, peace be unto you, greetings to you, and he's all locked up just like you just illustrated, that is nothing but the Lord within him.
Amen.
And then again, like you said, he's not one to keep it to himself.
Right.
He wants to say, here, I'm an example.
Right.
I'm worse off than you are.
Right.
But I still got the peace of the Lord in me, and I want to show you how to get to this same place.
Exactly. And that's so powerful because, you know, a lot of times people, you know, they don't realize that this is the letter many believe, theologians, Dr. G, you can help me out if you can, is this is like the letter before he was getting ready to get martyred.
Right.
So it's like, you know, all of this stuff is going on, but yet, you know, he's getting ready to get martyred, and he's just calm, talking about, I'm sending some letters out to, you know, reach you. I'm going to preach the gospel till I can't preach anymore. I'm
right.
going to interact with people even from prison, even while my life is on the line.
Right.
Because, you know, that's how important the gospel is, or that's how much the gospel has affected me to the point that I want to continue to go on until I take my last breath.
And he's living by the Spirit, by his flesh.
Yes.
So he's like, take my life, last
right.
breath, but
right.
you're not going to take my life.
Right. Exactly. And this type of communication, I think we as the church can learn a lot of how to talk to people. Before you know something's going down, you know something happened, and our initial reaction is to get in the flesh.
Right.
Amen, life.
Amen.
Our initial reaction is go to the flesh.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
You might bust your window out your car, Sister Juanita. Lord have mercy. And your initial reaction was to leave them a nasty letter. Lord have mercy.
I ain't going to put on blast like that.
But instead of leaving them a track, a gospel track, it's the initial reaction.
Right.
But when we talk to each other, our first thing should be is when we feel the flesh flare up, amen.
Amen.
Is don't give it any room. It's that ain't going to work right.
Let me check myself.
Especially as you get older.
Yes.
We shouldn't flick out is at a drop of a hat if we've been in this thing for a minute.
Maturity. You should be spiritually mature.
Spiritually mature. That if something goes down and somebody says something ugly, it does something ugly, that you get to the point where you're like, yeah, that's ugly. I'm not going to go to the flesh. I'm not going to get hot-headed right now, but I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, realize that God has given me grace, and he's given me peace, and
right.
given me salvation.
Right.
And because of that, I'm going to respond to this Christ-like instead of hood-like.
And let the Lord handle it.
And let the Lord handle it, amen. Because truth be known, if I handle it thug-like, Christ-like, I'm going to take the shine, I'm going to take the direction, the glory off of Christ, and somebody's going to tell me, and I thought you was a preacher, and I thought you was a Christian. That's exactly what they're going to say.
And you'll say it to yourself, now, Lord, why did I let that person get up under my skin like that? How many of us have said that? Why did I let that person get to me like that? I should know better.
Amen, amen. And so the lesson that we're learning from this is that, you know, we got to learn how to talk to each other. If we had a lesson every day on how to talk to each other, I don't think it would be enough, because that's one of the things that breaks down relationships,
right.
is when we don't know how to talk to each other.
Right.
When a husband and wife can't talk to each
right.
other, when people, neighbors can't talk to each other, when people at work can't talk to each other,
family
can't talk to each other. What it does is it creates division to the point where God's not getting the glory,
mm-hmm.
and nothing productive is coming about. And so if we had a lesson every day, a lesson you woke up every day and said, lesson 101, how to talk to X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And have to reiterate it every day, because I know people go to work and people, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
people just be tripping at work.
Mm-hmm.
Have I got a witness?
Amen.
Folks be tripping.
Yes, they do.
I call it dumb for no reason. Just woke up dumb, no reason. I think I'll be dumb today.
Yeah.
And I'll go talk to you. Hello, Jimmy. for no reason. And you have to learn how to be able to communicate with dummy. That sounds like a sermon right there.
Yeah.
Dr. Z, communicate with Dummy. Y'all might hear that Sunday. Write that down. Communicate with Dummy. And you have to be able to talk to Dummy in a way, amen, that Christ would talk to him. Amen.
Right.
And get over whatever they're doing to be able to get your message across. Because some people like strife. They just like to create mess,
They like drama. Right? Yeah.
And so you have to learn how to break that down, work with that, get your point across, and keep it moving.
That's right. Then that's the key, to keep it moving. Because if you don't keep it moving, then you will get stuck. And you'll get stuck in that argument. You'll get stuck in dumbness.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, the whole reflection is on you, you acting up, that person acting up, and you almost forget what the original issue was, and it doesn't get resolved.
And it doesn't get resolved. So you sitting there, nothing, upset, blood pressure upset, mad, not running, angry, taking it out on other people. See, that's what happens. What happens is when people get upset, then you start taking it out on other
everybody
people.
Everybody you look at, better watch out.
The cat be running behind the couch.
Dog.
The dog be talking, I ain't going upstairs. I'm staying downstairs.
No, my kids, when they were little, they used to say, who made daddy mad? Because he'd be mad at one of them. But
take it out on everybody else.
Out,
there you go. Everybody getting
it. Somebody asked him something really simple, and he'd like snap. And they would look at me, and they would say, who made daddy mad?
Everybody get it. Fish won't even come to the top of the bowl. just bad.
Yeah.
Bad. That's what I say about when you make the woman of the house mad, everything is bad.
Everything
Lord
messed
have mercy. It's cold, the food don't taste good, the cat won't come upstairs, the dog won't go downstairs, fish won't come to the top of the bowl, neighbor don't want to knock on the door, mailman won't skip by.
That's right. That little spirit just travels all over the place.
Oh my gosh, what's going on? So you got to learn how to communicate. And so what he says in verse three, and I find this very important, Dr. G and Sheila G. I find this very important is to let people know that you appreciate them.
Yeah.
Just simple stuff like thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever happens, please.
Please and thank you. That's something we have to drill in our young people all the time.
What?
That whole gimme. I always tell them, gimme got his hand cut off. Gimme this. Gimme that. May I have some, please?
Whatever happened
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. No. And they're going back to slavery if you say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir.
Just simple yes or no.
Right. Can you say yes or no?
Better than yeah. And come on, Jessica. Nah.
Oh my goodness! But just a simple. I appreciate you. Thank you. How many people have we said that through in the last week? Hey, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing. You know, I always tell people I appreciate their ministry.
Right.
You know, people don't have to yield themselves as servant
right.
and minister. And it's not just the person that's preaching the pulpit, the person that's working the parking lot, that's playing the music, that's you know, taking care of the finances, just cleaning
ushering
church,
at the door.
Ushering at the door. That's just a faithful member.
Right.
That sing songs, you know.
Right.
I appreciate your ministry. Thank you for your ministry. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, thank you for your ministry. I appreciate it. It really means a lot to me. Because they don't have to do it, but they yield themselves to do it. And that goes a long way. And so now as Paul is trying to talk to them and minister to them in the letter, he's saying, you know, I'm greeting you, and I thank God for you.
Mm-hmm.
That does a lot for our relationship when you tell somebody that you thank God for.
Right.
You have to in your marriage. When's the last time you told your wife that you love her? When's the last time you told your husband that you love her? Amen. I kiss my wife every morning, and I tell her I love her. Sometimes she be asleep. Sometimes she don't be asleep. Sometimes she's like, and sometimes he says, I love you. But she always sends me a text
that says, I love you. And that's important. Married people take that for granted. We do the same thing. We always tell each other that we love you. And even if we, like, get upset, we'll bump each other and then say, sorry about that. Thank you.
Right.
And get past it. But just out of the blue, we compliment each other.
Yes.
Just for no reason, not because anybody did anything.
Yes.
Just You know, sometimes I tell him he's a great father.
Yeah. You
and
know,
just the other day, he told me I was a great mother and a great daughter. Yeah. You know, just saying those type of things goes a long way. So that when either one of us gets on each other's nerves, mm-hmm. it's like, well, I know that they love me. I know they appreciate me because I hear that more
right.
than I hear him plucking my nerves.
Right. And that's the type of thing that you have to do with in the church family also. You have to let people know you appreciate. Because sometimes you can complain, and then that's all the people hear.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as pastors, as preachers, you got to be careful not to always, you know,
browbeat
and complain and tell people you're not doing this. You should be doing this. You should be doing this. It's like every time they come, they're like, oh,
no,
I'm getting his feet down. You got to be careful to let people understand that you appreciate them and not complain to them all the time or what they're not doing. But that's the same thing in relations on your job. I'm always, you know, being mindful. Like this past week, where we had to do all this snow removal, ice removal, and you know, I just let the people know that, you know, I appreciate them coming in, making the effort to get in to help, you know, deal with, you know, making sure the walkways and pathways were straight. You know, because it's hard driving getting in. You got to leave your family. You got to come in. You got to work out in the cold. You know, and just so that, you know, we appreciate them. What they're doing, you know, and you know, every time, you know, you see someone, men and women in uniform, you know that they're giving sacrifice, because our father, you know, was in the military, and we know the times that he was away from his family during birthdays, during holidays, and all that time. It just, you know, it's one thing to say it, but, you know, be nice to someone, or even, you know, buy them dinner, or, you know, just, you know, show them that you appreciate what they're doing.
That's the key, to show them. That too often we don't want to give lip service and that's it.
Exactly.
But to show someone that you care, to show someone that you appreciate them goes a long way.
It does. It does. And so that whole thing of showing somebody that you appreciate and telling them that you appreciate them. And then one of the most important things, and I think every church member, every child of God, not only with, you know, telling them that you love them, telling them that you appreciate them, talking to them in the right way, there is this next point in verse 4 that it says, always in every prayer. In other words, we got to pray for each other, man.
Mm-hmm.
We got to pray for you. If you know that I'm having...
The whole thing.
Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. In other words, he's praying for you. He's saying, I'm praying for you. I'm making requests for you. It's not a burden for me to pray for you and wish God's blessing upon you. When was the last time we just said, well, I want to pray God's blessing upon someone?
Right.
When was the last time we made a purposeful made up in our mind, I'm going to play God's blessing for this person. I'm going to play God's blessing for this. I'm going to play God's blessing for this person. I'm going to pray with joy. It does me joy to have God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people get so jaded that they can't stand to see somebody
they
else get blessed.
Through. That's true.
How are they going to get blessed before me?
That's true. Or how they, what? I think I'm a better person than they are. It seems like they're more blessed than I am. I was talking to somebody about that the other day, and I said, you don't know what that person's life is. You have to look at what God has given you and be thankful for that.
Right, and sow your own seed.
Right.
And in due season, you'll reap. But the thing that we see is that he's praying for them. I mean, that's a great letter to let somebody know that you're praying for them, that you're praying God's blessing for them. Mm-hmm. It does something for them, showing them, praying for them, speaking to them in a way that is respectful and kind and loving, putting them in the right frame of mind. That's what we need. People wouldn't be going crazy in this world if we had more people praying for each other, more people showing love to each other, more people speaking godly toward each other, because people just get in the mood. I call it, we get into one of those states of mind that we're like cattle. Everybody gets up every morning. We just, like a big herd. Don't care who we trample. Don't who care who we get in the way. We just we going, and it's like there's no compassion, there's no understanding, there's no love, there's no interaction. It's just everything.
Right. And you know, you really see that when you're in the store. I try to, whenever I'm in a store with a cashier, whether it be the grocery store or buying clothes, to speak to people.
Yes.
Speak to the cashier. Thank you. How's your day? How are you doing? People don't do that anymore. They will walk right past you, look you in the face, and not say a word because they don't know you.
Right.
But if I get your eye contact, I'm going to say hi. I'm going to say good morning. And that kind of like puts a smile on people's face. But we're so programmed that, okay, this is where I'm going. I'm going to do this. I don't know you, so I'm not saying this. And if we would be more open towards one another, just a simple hi, how you doing, is showing love.
Yeah, that's an old mother say, even a dog will shake, wag his tail.
Right.
Oh, Lord, mother. Even a dog will wag his tail.
Yeah.
Man, you can't speak, the dog will wag his tail.
Right.
But you know, you have to get to the frame of mind that you're gonna spread this joy. You know, Apostle Paul could have been bitter in prison.
Yeah.
But he's still talking about spreading joy.
And you can see the smile on his face in the letter.
Yeah, you can see the smile. It's like, oh man. You know, when I think about this person, I just, you know, spread joy. I think about this person. And that's the way it was, you know, I think about people, you know, in church, the people I know, family, during the day. And, you know, and it's just, you know, a blessing to be able to ask God's blessing on them or ask, in appreciation what they're doing. And you know, that's what helps us get through our difficult situation.
Right.
And Paul is in a difficult situation, but he's showing us how to get through our difficult situation by showing the love of God and showing the characteristics of Christ, even in our most difficult situation. And if we would do that more, where people would pray for us and we would pray for them, and that we would talk to each other in a Christ-like manner, and that we would put each other in remembrance of what God has done and how God has given us peace, it will help us to matriculate or to go through our difficult times in a better mind frame or state of mind, because some people, when they go through, you don't even want to be around. You're like, oh boy, here they go. You start making your phone make noise. It's like, oh, okay, I gotta go.
That's because they tend to want to see the glasses half empty. I was at Children's Hospital today for a radio thon. And to hear those kids, including Jessica, tell their story. But every last one of them has gone through situations. But every last one of them had a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. They knew how to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young man over there who said he was 13 years old and had a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
He's 38.
Wow.
He works for the radio. He's 28. He works for a radio station. But you could just hear and see in him, even through that, the joy. Oh, just those kids, and we don't go through half as much of what they've been through, but they can smile.
My goodness.
And almost all of them give glory to God as they're talking.
Oh, my God.
But we, like you said, we step our toenail, or we have a bad day at work, and the sky is falling. We get bad news from the doctor. Oh, Lord, everybody's freaking out. You know, but if you put your hand in God's hand, you know God has it.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about it.
Amen. And that's the awesome thing about God, and that's what Paul's talking about with that peace when he's talking about that in that second verse. He'll give you a peace that you really can't understand. He'll give you a peace that will crop up and grab you and hold you and keep you when ordinarily, if you didn't know him, you would go out of your mind.
Right.
When you're like, wow, God has really kept me through this, because I know there would have been a time where I had lost my mind. I would have been somewhere in a corner with one of them jackets that you put on backwards, rocking back and forth with drool running out the side of my mouth. talking about somebody come get me. Amen. But because the peace of God in your life, he'll allow you to go to sleep, get some rest, wake up refreshed, and ready to do it again.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing about God, is that he knows what you need when you need it, and he knows how to give it to you when you need it.
And he knows how much you can take.
And the thing that God says is he won't put anything more on you than you can bear.
That's right.
But he never promised us that it would be easy.
That's right.
Lord,
that's right.
Have mercy.
And that's a mistake people make. They think because they're saved, then every day, every life is just going to be so wonderful. And then they get mad at God when they have situations.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait a minute. I've worshipped you. I praised you. Why am I going through this? I didn't do anything to you but give you the glory. And they just get mad at God, but not getting mad at the evil within the world.
Right, right. And the thing about God is that he never promised it was going to be easy. We have to go through something.
That's right.
If you live the day in this world, you know you're going to have to
go through
something. Through
a couple of something.
And if not, keep living. Hello. It's going to come knock on your door.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
But you have to really see where he's going with it. He's speaking this love letter to the church that he founded. He's letting them know that he's still hanging in there, and he prayed that they were hanging there. And if you look at that last verse where he says, all requests with joy.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time we went a day without complaining?
Complaining.
We preached on that last Sunday.
Hello.
When was the last time that we celebrated all day? We preached Reverend Gregory from Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad at it. And we asked the question, are we still celebrating? Are we celebrating every day, or are we complaining?
Complaining. Oh, my goodness.
Can we celebrate every day, or are we going to complain every day? I mean, we can complain.
You can complain about anything. You can find, just as easy as you can find a way to complain, you can find a way to have joy. But for whatever reason, we just prefer to complain.
And we use the Lord's name in vain when we complain, too. Amen. We use the Lord's name in vain.
Amen.
Why are we complaining?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, praise you, Jesus, we say, Lord, help me.
Or Lord, have mercy.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Or our mind is, Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. Really? Jesus, really? I know I'm talking to somebody. Oh, my God. Jesus, really? Come on. And some people go, Jesus, Christ.
Well, I saw those people on my job.
But then we'll be the first one at church. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We flip that thing. On your way out the door, we flip that switch. Don't give them till Monday. In the service, the usher passed by too fast. I didn't even get a chance to put this in. But this is the thing that we have to find out. We have to find a way to have joy in our requests every day, mm-hmm. be able to celebrate God every day. Because God will give you, can you imagine everything that we've needed every day, God has waiting for us as soon as we open our eyes.
As we wake up. And you know what? Even if we, because he gives us choice, sometimes he's laid the path out for us,
mm-hmm.
For us to get what we want to get, but we try to take a different path.
That's right.
But he still has that victory for us there. And he still sits there and knocks and says, I'm telling you, it's over here.
Right.
Turn right. But even though we're turning left, he's still right there for you. So still that blessing is still there, even when we're disobedient.
Absolutely. And the thing that I like is like that it's there consistently every day. His new mercies are there every day. Every day when you wake up, you got new mercies.
Right.
The old man used to say that I got up, I was able to put one foot in front of the other, the blood was still running warm in my
veins.
Had food on my table, with clothes in my mind.
Roof over my head.
And we used to tease them, you know, because that was their mantra. But if you think about it, those are the new mercies that we get every day.
Those are the basics.
You need those new mercies every day. Wake up tomorrow morning. I challenge everybody. Wake up tomorrow morning.
Don't eat.
And she said it. Don't eat. And don't breathe. Wake up tomorrow morning and think about all the new mercies that God's going to give you on that day.
Right.
Just to be able to get up and walk through the facilities.
Right.
By yourself.
That's right.
That's new mercy right there.
Mm-hmm.
We take it for granted.
First thing
we get up and say, Lord, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And first thing, I'm tired. Ain't getting no rest last night. I'm tired. It's only Wednesday. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I got to go work and see these folks.
Deal with these people on the beltway,
on the metro. It's cold outside. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's cold outside.
Got to get these kids up.
He won't get up. She won't get up. Didn't do their homework. Told me about it the last minute.
Forgot to make the lunch.
Want money. How am I supposed to eat? When you knew 2 weeks ago you needed that $5.
And you telling me this morning and looking pitiful like it's my fault that I can't go to the bank at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Faces. And ain't stopped to just thank God for the new mercy.
That's right.
Right there.
That's right.
Amen.
And sometimes that's what Satan will throw at us first thing. And you're right. Sometimes you just need to go in the bathroom and close the door and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to start this over again.
Reset. Hit the reset button.
Yeah, hit the reset button. Yeah.
Y'all might hear that on Sunday, too.
Hit the reset button. Okay, I'm going to start this over.
Hit the reset button.
Because I'm not going to start my day off this way.
Amen. That's pretty
good. But it's easy to slip right into it. So you literally have to hit that. And whether it's when you get in your car, whether it's when you go downstairs, sometimes I just have to go in the bathroom and close the door.
Amen.
And just say, okay, Lord, let me start this over again.
Reset. And it's so easy to get into because we're human, because
right.
Our bodies do get tired.
Right.
You know, we live in this flesh and you do get irritable.
Mm-hmm.
You get upset. People do get on your nerves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's reality. You know, but you have to be able to reset and come back spiritually.
Right.
Because I know I'm a humdinger. If I'm tired, I ain't had no sleep, and sick, oh, my goodness, you better get out of the way. I will snap your head off.
That's why I got off the phone with you real quick the other day. When you told me that you'd been up 24 hours, I said, okay, let me tell you two things.
And most of the stuff I didn't even remember. I'm glad you sent the email, because I was like, okay.
Okay, got you, bye.
Bye. I couldn't remember. I said, you sent an email. That's good. You ever talk to people and you sleep? You woke, but you sleep?
Uh-huh.
And it never. I'm talking. But it's not staying on my hard drive.
And I can tell. It's like, okay. The sky's falling. Your house is on fire. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I told someone, I said, Sheila called me, but I can't remember what she said. She's going to have to send me.
He's like, that's okay, I got you. I'm getting off. I just said, you don't remember. I said, I'm not going to bother you anymore. Goodbye. Go sleep.
but I got the email. But you have to get into a point where you recognize those things about yourself and not to get so upset about it.
Right.
And remember, if we go down, and we're going to get some folk on the line here, and go down to verse 5, and this is key. It says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In other words, you got to look at people over the long haul.
Right.
We got so many people that you know, if you're in a situation and, you know, you might have, you know, been upset or out of character, look at the whole picture.
Right.
Don't be so quick to judge, so quick to give up, so
That's
quick to
the
throw
key.
in the towel.
That is the key.
Everybody goes through something sometime.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
That's right.
And believe it or not, while that person's going through, you should be thankful that you're not going through it exactly.
Right.
And look at the track record of people.
Right.
And over down through the years, this is what Paul said from the beginning until now. He said, you know, I thank God for you. You know, it ain't always been easy. It ain't always been rosy. But I thank God for you in the fellowship and the relationship that we have down through the years.
Right.
And people don't build relationships like that anymore. People hop, particularly church people, hop from church to church to church.
You can give me what I want.
It's like one thing happened in the church, and you've seen, you know, the history of people consistent for 10, 12, 15, 20 years, and one thing happened in church, I'm gone.
Yep, they have to go from one church.
And then they go to the next church, and they find the same thing happened, or something different.
But at what point do you realize it must be you?
Uh-oh. See? There you go. I'm going to start calling you James.
Because the church keeps staying. It's still where it is. You're the one that keeps going from church to church to church to church.
Right.
So at some point, you have to say, what is in it within me that I don't have the staying power?
Yeah, and that's not to say that there are times where God is directing and leading people to go other places.
Right.
But it's not because all the time is that you know, it's just something that, you know, happened and I got to go.
Right.
You know, it has to be something where God is leading you, guiding you to do other things in ministry. But to have a fellowship is important for the church to understand that they have to have a fellowship. It's like a family.
Yeah.
You got to be like a family. You have to be like a group of people. And family family fall out with each other every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
Anybody ever had a brother and sister?
What? Yeah.
You fall out with your brother and sister every now and then.
Yeah.
But you still love them.
That's right.
You still, you know, looking out, you still got their back.
Right.
But every now and then, they done plucked your last nerve.
That's right.
You got your nerve. The same thing in the church.
Yep.
And you got to realize, well, that's just the way.
That's my family.
That's the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's and you have to learn how to love and fellowship. And so that's why he said, you know, always in every prayer of mine and making requests with joy. In verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. In other words, we've been in this thing together.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how you build relationship in the church, is when you've been in the trenches together. I don't care what relationship, whether it's a military relationship, whether you've been in war, whether you're in battle, whether you've been in work. When you have gone toe-to-toe with the enemy and you have been side-by-side with somebody, that's the type of fellowship that you develop. But I think too many times Christians, we don't understand that we're going against the satanic or the demonic forces, and that we have to do battle.
Right.
And we have to do it side by side. And when we do it side by side, that builds our fellowship and our relationship in the Lord. And we begin to develop a love and a care for each other that's unbreakable.
Right.
And that's what missing a lot of times in ministry. That's what's missing a lot of times, particularly in the African American community, where there was a time where there was during slavery and during coming out to civil rights movement, where we were battling against oppression, we were battling against the enemy that were trying to keep us enslaved or keep us from having the rights that we were entitled to, and we were linked together and we were bound together and we had this relationship. We called each other brother, we called each other sister. We were in this thing together. But it seems like now that we're able to, you know, go our own way, if you will, or have liberties, that we forgot about that bond.
Right.
The same thing in ministry. People used to stick together. People used to fellowship together.
Right.
People, churches used to get together and pray and sing and interact with each other.
Uh-huh.
Now it's like, hey, we got our own thing.
And then now you got the bishops, pastors, whatever they call themselves, each of them, getting under that lion tree like they did at Hampton's ministry and talk about this is what my church is doing, So they're actually becoming competitive.
Yeah, and then people get tired of that and fall out with that because they're not creating a fellowship. The main thing that Jesus left on us for us to do was to love God and love each other and to go and to share the good news with those that are lost.
Right.
And he said that the fields are ripe, and He said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few.
Right.
And you have to say at what point, you know, are we in competition, and at what point should we be in fellowship?
Fellowship.
And bonding together to go and to share the good news so those that don't know God can come to know him.
That's right.
But I think we've gotten to a situation where a lot of times in on Sunday morning, whenever your worship is, we just entertain each other. I mean, keep it real. Keep it real. I know I've been running my mouth for a long time. Let's try to get somebody on the phone. 2-1. Did we get 2-1-2-2? 2-1-2-2, you're on the air.
Happy Thursday. This is 2-1-2-2.
Happy Thursday.
You know, Paul did have a passionate letter when he wrote to the Philippians in Philippi. And it did speak about, even though he was going through tough times, he still gave honor to the people who helped him with the ministry also. And the people who received his gospel.
Yeah.
And I look at myself, if I was in that position, I would probably be whining myself. Wondering why I haven't got any canteen. How come you're not breaking me out this joint? You know? Yeah. Why am I the only one suffering in here while y'all are with freedom? So I appreciate Paul on how the love, that's the love of Jesus, has towards his children. And we should have that towards another. And that's all I have to say.
Amen.
Appreciate you, 2-1-2-2. We're going to go to 1-7-4-1. 1-7-4-1, you're on the air. 1-7-4-1, you there?
Hi, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. First Lady, Pastor Gregory, how are you all? Good. Paul really loved the Christians. He really loved the church. And he wanted so much for them to understand the passion that he had, because he realized how much mercy God had shown toward him. And he was a great persecutor of the church. Mm-hmm. And once his eyes became open and he realized just how much God loved him and God was so merciful unto him, he wanted to extend that same mercy to the other believers. And so whenever he wrote them, he would always encourage them and build them up and let them know that, you know, I'm not doing this because of me, but I'm only doing it because it's the grace of God that he has extended toward me. And so he wrote many love letters to them, but the letter he wrote to the Philippi church was just so inspiring, so upbuilding, and you could see the deep love that he had for them.
Yeah.
It came from the heart. And sometimes that's what we really miss today.
Wow.
We don't have that heart love.
Wow.
And no matter how much we talk to people, write people, say to people, if truly we don't have it from the heart, then it's not going to last. It's just going to be temporary.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comments. We'll talk to you later. Sheila D, we got about 2 minutes. Can you get some folks from our studio audience, see what they have to say about Paul's opening of this letter? They acting shy up in here. The question is, what do you think about the opening of his letter?
Paul's opening in Philippians, he greets everyone in love. He shows love towards his, even in being in captive, that even though he's in bondage or in captive, we are that same way today. even though we're free, some of us still are in bondage. And so we need to learn how to let go of that bondage so we can be free and have the joy that Paul is stating first in his letter to Philippi.
Any of the other shy people want to say anything? They shy tonight.
No, Philippi, I mean, Philippians is one of those, it's one of the books that I really can identify with, and I love to death.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out that you were going to be working on this, I was excited that I catch a cold.
It's Thursday.
Paul was very passionate within this letter and all that he went through. And I mean, there's so much richness here. There's so many things that we can learn when you, here was a man about to be going through what he was going through, but yet he is still a servant.
Yeah.
And we lose track of that word, that everything centers around us being served. You all have really hit on pretty much everything, started off. The highfalutin, the bishops, the titles, and all that. And you're right, everything that goes on within the church. And all that you were saying, we've got to learn how to talk to
them. Yeah.
It's a tact.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we as pastors and ministers have to learn, because we too can get caught up in the flesh,
yeah,
especially when folk in the church are not doing what they should be doing.
Right.
And we want them to do. We have to take on the same mindset as Paul. You got to love them, but you got to understand where they are at,
yeah,
now compared to where they were, just like Paul was saying. And you got to remember, everybody is different.
That's right.
And they grow at different levels.
Yep.
And we have to keep all of that in mind.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're out of time, as usual. It's been real good. But we're going to close out in prayer and just ask everyone to keep each other in prayer. Pray for everyone's blessing. We actually keep our family in prayer, our Father. Deacon James Kason is going to have surgery this week, and so we just ask that you would keep them in your prayers, keep the family in your prayer, and that we would pray one for another, just like Paul instructed us to do. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you for, again, allowing us to gather around your word. God, we thank you, God, for your word and what you've placed in your word, and God, we know that we've gone through individually and collectively the book of Philippians. And Father, we just thank you, God, that it has been fresh and renewing again today. And we just thank you for the power of your spirit that continues to teach us and encourage us through your word. Father, we pray for those that are on the air, those that are here. God, we just pray for those that will go through the archives and hear the word, that you would touch them through your spirit, God, that they will be uplifted, that they would be encouraged to continue to love and to be more Christ-like in their walk with you. And now, God, we just pray that you would continue to bless all of us, God, whatever we stand in the need of. God, we pray that you would bless us individually and collectively, one by one and name by name, God. And as always, we pray that you would just keep us until we get together again. And we ask these all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.